Unlock the future of learning. This is Franklin Unlimited, where visionary ideas come to life.
Today, we have the privilege of speaking with Dr. Jacqueline Melvoord, an expert in transdisciplinary learning, also known as TD Learning, and she is currently the Visiting Associate Professor of Practice and the Compton Chair of Creative Intelligence and Innovation at the WA Frankie Honors College at the University of Arizona. Jacqueline is driven to inspire change as an educational leader by adopting innovative, collaborative, and transdisciplinary approaches to learning. In this conversation, we'll explore the impact of TD, why it matters, and how schools can utilize this exceptional tool to enhance student experiences. Let's dive in. All right, I'm incredibly excited today to welcome Jacqueline, and thank you so much for joining us on the Franklin Unlimited podcast. I can't wait to share everything that you've experienced in your professional life with our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me, Will. I have been the biggest fan of Franklin since you opened, and I'm so excited that I have a continuing relationship with you.
That's kind of where I'd love to start, is the relationship. But before we get to really diving into the relationship, is almost like the journey that's created it. I'd love to hear a little bit about your own professional journey, what's led to the work that you've been doing with the University of Technology Sydney and now the University of Arizona. Just give our listeners some of the amazing experience and pathways that you've been able to journey through.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I started my academic journey as a science student, and I then continued on. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, as most young adults do. So I continued on and did a PhD in infectious disease. And while I was going through that process of really understanding what academia is, I realized that being a scientist in infectious disease in this space was never going to give me the impact that I really wanted to have on the world. I really wanted to be someone that could create change. And in science, you do all of these experiments and they get published in academic journals. And a lot of the time, that doesn't really go anywhere. And the people that read those journals from one particular audience. And so the University of Technology in Sydney, or UTS, was starting this new program called the Bachelor of Creative Intelligence and Innovation, where they were bringing together academics and students from across all of the different faculties and disciplines to work out how do we start solving the complex problems that society is facing. And so for me, being able to be a scientist and offer that science perspective into that program seemed like it was going to be the thing I wanted to do. And so I was one of the founding members of the Faculty of Transdisciplinary Innovation and have never looked back. It's really transformed who I am, the way I think about and see the world. And I just love the impact that we're able to have with students working with organizations. And so last year, I made a transition. The Bachelor of Creative Intelligence and Innovation got licensed to the University of Arizona, and it's now housed here in the WA Frankie Honors College. And I am heading up that program as the Compton Chair of Creative Intelligence and Innovation. So really in this amazing spot where it's this program that's now global, and what are the opportunities of having students from across the globe coming together?
It's so great. I mean, I've got goosebumps for you knowing how amazing these opportunities are and the impact that you're going to have in education. You did also give me a segue, transdisciplinary learning. Within our building, we kind of call you the guru of TD because you get to give us so many insights that are also helping our faculty and our students see experiences in education so differently. From your level of understanding, could you give our listeners an understanding of what the differences are between transdisciplinary learning, interdisciplinary learning, and multidisciplinary learning?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the easiest way, the way that I explain it to my own students and people who have no idea what I'm talking about, which is a lot of people, is to use a metaphor. And so if I use the metaphor of a dinner party, if you're a single discipline and you're hosting a dinner party, you would go out, you would shop and buy all of the ingredients, and you'd prepare the dinner party yourself using your own knowledge and experience. If you're more in this inter and multidisciplinary phase, you might host a potluck dinner where everyone cooks their own meal with their own ingredients at their house and then brings it along. And maybe there's some consistency between the different meals, but you really never know what you're going to get. And then if you're transdisciplinary, you would actually invite people to bring their favorite ingredients, and together with all of the people and their favorite ingredients and their knowledge and experience, you would co-create a meal. And by doing that, you'd create new flavors and new dishes that you never would have thought possible.
That is an awesome analogy. And it's one that I've tried to use. It's definitely way simpler than the last time I tried to explain it to our community. So I'm stealing that one, and I'm definitely going to write it down and reuse it. It's also near lunchtime here, so the idea of eating has made me incredibly hungry. But at the same time, what it also clearly does is it creates challenges for people within communities where they have to think together, but they might be bringing different skill sets. They might be looking at things through completely different lenses and knowledge profiles that they're coming with. So how do you think transdisciplinary approaches then enhance the way that we address, say, like complex global or real world scenarios?
There are two really big things that I love about transdisciplinarity, and that is that they are always action oriented and impact focused. So they are looking to create change in society. And what transdisciplinarity does is it's participatory in that it brings in the people who are experiencing the problem. And so it brings in knowledge outside of just academic knowledge, which is something that a lot of other disciplines struggle to do or don't do in a very holistic way. They might do it really tokenistically of, I'll run some focus groups and bring those people in, and then I'll continue to solve the problem how I know. Whereas transdisciplinarity brings in that lived experiences of people who are experiencing that challenge. So I guess an example would be if you're trying to solve a problem like climate change or homelessness, you're bringing in the population that's experiencing the effects of that rather than trying to solve the problem for them. So it really goes with the not about us without us. And it does so in a way where you're bringing them in at all parts of the problem solving.
And it also significantly increases that human-centric approach to it that sometimes gets lost because, you know, we have people that have great skill sets, great knowledge, think that they can solve all the problems, and they find like one tiny little piece of the cog that they didn't consider through because they've never experienced those things that breaks the whole system down. I'd love to hear of an example of a successful transdisciplinary project or initiative that you've been involved in.
Yeah, so I think a lot of the research and work that I focus on is on future-oriented capabilities. And so I've really transitioned into the transformative education space. And I guess one of my really big aims is I don't want to be the holder of transdisciplinary knowledge. I want to get to the point where the people who are transdisciplinary practitioners are all of us, and that this space of becoming the holder of that knowledge almost becomes redundant because everybody is able to embrace transdisciplinary education and research. And so in the work that I've done, I've worked with high schools in Sydney to really think about how do we transform education starting in that K-12 space, as opposed to waiting for students to get to university, where we spend so much time getting students to unlearn traditional ways of learning to support them to then relearn in these transdisciplinary, experiential, and embodied ways. So we've worked with schools to where are the sweet spots within their programs where we could embed transdisciplinary programs and get them to really enhance what they have as their practiced and project-based learning. How do we shift that into this transdisciplinary space where they're able to create an impact? And the students do. That's one of the most amazing things of working with high schools and working with university students is what they put forward to the challenge holders who are industry, government, or community partners gets picked up and implemented. There's such value in hearing from our young population, whether that be high school or university. They have a really unique perspective on the world, and organizations love to hear from them.
The thing that also kind of really resonates with the way you approach things is it aligns with us so well because we also have our skills curriculum at our school that's really focused on like systems thinking, futures thinking. I really love that the core central piece of what you've been doing for so often is realizing that you're not too young to lead. And that process of like being young enough to want to take on the challenges, but also being confident enough of being able to articulate where the problems are, the complex solutions as well, because not all the time are the solutions easy. They actually probably need another layer of challenge in going through things. We actually had a great project at our school. It was designed as a CSI, transdisciplinary. I think you are pretty familiar with it. We basically created a CSI challenge that included all of our subject areas. Students were learning how to create heart rate monitors, lie detector tests. They were doing fingerprint analysis, biochemistry analysis. They were also using our art program, which hopefully a number of you have seen just recently on our post of the incredible work our students do, is like profiling. The PE curriculum was used there as a force and analysis kind of to see who was it that might have been strong enough to perform the actions. So it really included a collaborative and community experience. I'd love to hear what your take was on that as our first kind of TD process, and what kind of skills do you think our students might have developed in that project-based learning?
I absolutely loved hearing about that project. And for me, it's also not just about what students were learning, it's about what the educators also learned as part of that process. Because what you really did by creating that is opened up a space for your educators to step into the unknown where they might be a little bit uncertain or ambiguous about what they were doing. So they were going through the learning process alongside. And I think that piece of mutual learning is just beautiful. But I think a really exciting topic like crime scene investigation to entice students in to really think about what does it mean to be transdisciplinary and having all of the different perspectives from different disciplines brought in a really unique way to get students to start understanding that was absolutely incredible.
You referenced the learning alongside each other. That was something that we've been really trying to model ever since we started this school, is demonstrating that our leadership group, our entire school, our amazing faculty and staff, we're all lovers of learning. And to show that and experience the excitement that we were getting as the students were seeing us experience it and have excitement while they were building it was incredible. And so the collaboration part is also hard. And so I'd love to hear some of the methodologies or strategies that you have used in your time to kind of increase and foster greater collaboration across disciplines, departments, industries, et cetera.
I really have to say that I have never seen bigger eye rolls from students where they walk into the first courses with us and you tell them that every course or subject they're doing within this degree program is going to be collaborative, because everyone has horror stories of how awful teamwork can be. And so we spend the first whole course within our programs, it's called Problems to Possibilities, supporting students to become that expert team member. And so it starts with them really reflecting on who am I as a team member? What are the different ways that I know? And we're inviting students to come to class as their whole self, which a lot of other academic programs don't do. We want them to bring in what are the unique perspectives you have, whether it's cultural, spiritual, it's about age and gender. What are the unique perspectives and how do you bring them in a meaningful way to the table? So they do a lot of reflecting on who they are as a team member and how do you work best with me? And so together they then share their experience of previous teamwork. This is who I am. Do I need to see the big picture of things, or do I like need every single little detail about what it is? And so they create then team manifestos, which a lot of people do and use. And we do it in a really embodied way where they're bringing and checking in on their team health every class. Their manifesto is out and they're in real time editing it based on conflicts that may arise. So we also give them agency within their teamwork, and coming to us for support needs to be done early if there's issues, so that we can step in and support them to work out what are the problems and how do we work around these?
Again, one of the reasons why it works so well at our school is because we do have those kind of skill development areas at the same time. And we're doing it starting with ninth graders. So there's also another layer of eye rolling level when you give it to a ninth grade group as well. But the other part is the skills that they start to develop that they don't even realize they're developing by being a part of a community and a team that's going through a struggle together. And so we've seen communication skills go through the roof. We've also seen students become far better at active listening. And the other thing that we've really tried to push, especially recently, but also with the global changes and so many jobs, industries, and areas of work that will be consumed by non-human processes, is really trying to increase that human-centric leadership, you know, really getting people to understand each other at the same time that they're trying to get solutions to their own problems. So yeah, I love the synergy that we've also been able to create by having someone like yourself help facilitate a lot of our learning for our faculty and our academic leaders. With that in mind, I'd also like to kind of the collaboration piece, and you spoke about eye rolling, but I'd love to kind of hear about the challenges and then the major successes that you've had around engagement levels, but not so much now. I think we've done a big part of the student one. I'd love to hear what you think it's like for the educators. Where are the major successes? Where have the rubs been on getting people to engage in transdisciplinary learning and also methodologies?
I can speak from this from two perspectives. From my own perspective, jumping into this place where I was teaching students who were in their fourth year of the Bachelor of Creative Intelligence Innovation, and they had 3 years more experience than me. And there's nothing more nerve-wracking than going into a class where you think you don't have the knowledge that they do. But also I've done a lot of work in training transdisciplinary educators, whether that be through high school programs, but also in the scale that we're running the BCII at the University of Technology in Sydney, is the cohort size has been up to 470 students in a class. And so with that, you have to support all of the instructors that are co-leading that program with you. And I think some of the biggest challenges firstly arise around the language. Different disciplines use different language and terminology. And so that barrier of what are we all talking about and are we all thinking and understanding it to be what we actually mean it to be is one thing. Another thing that is a huge challenge is stepping into a room where students are solving a real world challenge, and they could be anywhere in the process. They could be steaming ahead in ideation. They could still be trying to map and understand the challenge space. So as an educator, you really have to learn how to let go of a lesson plan and embrace the chaos of what could be happening in the classroom. But you also walk in with 17 different hats on, and you may need a different hat with every group of students that you're working with. And I think coming from a science background where I would have a tutorial or a workshop or a lab, and this is exactly what a student has to achieve in that time, doesn't necessarily happen in a transdisciplinary classroom. So that's something that becomes really uncomfortable, and it takes experience to learn to do. And I think the other thing is, I really embrace that when I am teaching large cohorts and I have this incredible diverse staff, that they are all able to step in and share their different opinions. So you end up not being the lead person in a classroom. You want to rely on and build in those perspectives of the other staff. And so the planning for that takes a lot longer because you're trying to collaborate with multiple people rather than just sitting down and doing it all yourself.
I'd say with us, I'd say that's probably one of the significant challenges at a high school level and also middle school level, is you've also got a lot of people that have to, that at high school, they step in because you've pre-selected them, maybe from their capabilities or competencies. And sometimes they're in there because you think that they could do a great job, but they're also free at the time to start with at a school. And so it's an interesting one that it does take a little while. And then once they see that that's what they've also been crying out for their own professional experience for a long period of time, they end up being heavily, heavily invested in it, because you're not throwing out best teaching and learning practices to introduce this type of experience or assessment process. You're actually utilizing all of the best practices, but making it far more agile, involve analytical and futures thinking that is going to actually, like you said, prepare them for real world challenges. The part that I also love that you didn't talk about is the level of patience. You're incredibly patient, especially when, you know, when people are asking you so many questions in so many different levels. And so I'd like to hear, just even, this is kind of a segue from what you just said, is what are the big things that you've learned along the journey that have made you more efficient at getting others to buy into TD learning, and kind of like once they're bought in, they're so heavily invested, but what are the efficiency strategies that you've almost created for yourself?
I think the most efficient way, once someone understands what transdisciplinary education is and can be, the way that I firstly introduce them to that is to never throw them in the deep end. I invite them to come and see a class. So come and see it, experience it, see where students land at the end of this process. And a lot of the time that speaks for itself. And then in terms of onboarding them, I always support them by pairing them up with experienced instructors. So it's very much a peer learning session, but also in the way that if I want them to lead a session, I'll work with them. And so time is the biggest challenge with any kind of transdisciplinary, whether it be teaching and learning or research, it takes longer to do. And so I'm really thankful that at UTS and here at the University of Arizona, that time is factored into the planning for staff. It's something that a lot of institutions don't want to do because time is money. And so even when you're putting in research grants, transdisciplinary projects cost more because of the time for collaboration.
I'm going to have you on the podcast like all the time because you give me these awesome segues that almost like you could just take me down a journey for the whole time and I wouldn't have to do any prep. Just ask you one question, you take me down an amazing path. And the reason I say you talk about time, you talk about investment, and that's been something that I take great pride in as an institution, a network of schools, but also having the autonomy from the board and the leadership community to be able to facilitate this type of experience for our students, but then also carve out the time for our faculty to slowly, in some cases, learn about the process and then start to see how it can actually integrate into their own teaching and learning experiences, but then also how some have been able to have the time and have just accelerated incredibly through it. And so at our school, we actually have two professional learning periods are a part of the schedule. The load of our teachers. And there is also a heavily TD-focused pathway that they can select. And so that gives them the time, which is, it is an incredible investment. And then also the other part is investment in the resources and investment in the ongoing education. And so we were fortunate to have you visit our school and we went through that kind of like piecemeal, take a chunk of it, see how you feel it, see how it lands. And before you knew it, 2 or 3 days into the piece, you were like, you guys can take this on. This is absolutely, your students are so curious, so engaged, so academically skilled that we can do this. Are there challenges ongoing where I think it's really working exceptionally well for us, but we're a really well-resourced school and a beautiful campus. But are there any challenges around that kind of funding and budget on the fact that it may have to keep continuously being something more college-related, even though it prepares them for college exceptionally well?
There definitely is. And I guess my experience much more from the Australian context where I was working with high schools and primary schools in this space is that the only schools we were able to work with were private schools. Public schools that are notoriously underfunded and under-resourced don't have firstly the time, but also the resourcing to engage in these professional learning developments. And so one of my big aims is how do you break down that barrier and create education in this TD space for anyone to access it? But then even if they have that education, how do they get their school and the systems to buy into it? And so there's a lot of work that needs to be done at a systems level of really understanding where is the future of education going. And I think education, some of the systems are a little bit stuck in the past. And so transdisciplinary practices, we've got to build and create the case studies to show that it works and show the outcomes to get that buy-in. And I think once you can then start working at a systems level of how do you embed this across multiple schools, I think that's where change is really going to happen.
Yeah, and it's really, look, the interesting part is it's not like the research, all of the information and the support isn't there. It is largely such a funding kind of central piece that's actually preventing a lot of this coming to fruition at schools. I recently worked with an organization that is so heavily focused on trying to give access to different schools and communities for programs like this. But also, if you just looked at the World Economic Forum's release for this year, it's so evident that we need to find some kind of way to be able to introduce, you know, systems thinking, systems mathing, futures thinking, but also to be able to provide resources to schools so that the gap doesn't get bigger. And that's something that really, you know, hit home for with me at the most is we're really fortunate. We've been following a number of the things the World Economic Forum have said, a lot of global education leaders from the OECD. We're fortunate that we can implement it, but then we also see when a student might have transferred to us from another school that's not as resourced, that student is so capable. And the teachers are incredible with what they're doing with those resources. But you can see that how much more they could be doing if everyone just had kind of like a more even playing field.
And I think just to add into that, I think the other thing that I see happening, which I haven't worked out how to solve yet or how to broach it, is the learning that takes place in a transdisciplinary classroom is where students who aren't thriving in a traditional education system where it's rote learning, it's regurgitation of knowledge, may thrive. You know, we see students that come in who may not have done well on exams because that's not the way that they learn best, but put them into an experiential and embodied learning mode and they absolutely thrive in that space. And I think a lot of students are missing out on that experience because, you know, it really affects your confidence as a student. If you're not doing well on exams and you're not that A-level student, is school the right place for you? Some of these students would absolutely thrive in this environment.
Yeah. And I think the other part is we always talk about preparing for college and preparing for the workforce, but then we actually only ever really see those two spaces of being able to have the diversity in how you present your knowledge and how you demonstrate your level of intelligence or your skill. And it is interesting. We really focus on making sure that we have multiple styles of assessment, but also multiple ways to gather the data on the students around their performances all of the time, because you do see those, just those missed opportunities. And then you'll all of a sudden find a student is incredibly gifted in one area that they've never actually been exposed to. And that exposure can come from doing a completed, you know, collaborative task together. And so, yeah, it's, I think it kind of leads me into this next question is like, what does it look like then for the next 5 or 10 years in your space? What do you think are the realistic growth expectations of it? And then, you know, how do you think that we can potentially get this to feed into those earlier spaces? You referenced K-12 before. We're really successful with it at the moment, 9-12. But, you know, having been in those K-12 spaces, I think it would work exceptionally well. Yeah. What do you think? 5 to 10 year growth.
Before I respond to that, the other thing I just want to add on to the last point is the other really big challenge I see in the transdisciplinary space is a lot of the skills that some of the principles of transdisciplinarity are called soft skills. And that labeling of soft skills, a lot of people think that they're not as important, but constantly through all of the different future-oriented capability frameworks that exist, they are central to it. And so I think that's something else. How do we shift the language around soft skills to be something that's actually much more valuable and seen as more valuable, particularly for employers? We know that they say they want the people that can come in and communicate and collaborate. They can think critically. They're creative in their problem solving. So 5 to 10 years, I guess, just starting this new role at the University of Arizona, I've been thinking about that a lot. And I want to work out how we create the third space for transdisciplinary education. And how do you bring the people together? And starting with those early adopters, what does it mean? And how do you bring people together to create that ecosystem of transdisciplinary learning? Because I think the thing that I've really found is the more transdisciplinary practitioners I meet and work with, the more I learn, because they've been working and they know how to solve some of the challenges I'm facing and vice versa. And so that community approach to it is something that I really want to see grow. And there is organizations like the International Inter and Transdisciplinary Global Alliance that are working to try and create that space. But the other thing I think we really need to think about shifting and changing are, what are the metrics for transdisciplinarity? And how do we embed that into universities who are doing research? How do you shift the metrics to support this kind of work? And that's something that is a really long-term challenge and a long-term goal. And over the past 10 years, I've seen a real shift in landscapes towards journals that will accept transdisciplinary publications, to funding that's specific for inter and transdisciplinary projects. And that needs to happen more. But the other thing I really hope to see and work with communities on is transdisciplinary projects that start outside of academia, because there are a lot of people that are doing transdisciplinary practice, but they don't call it that. And they're trying to solve the complex problems on the ground from that grassroots level. And so how do we reach out to them to work with them, rather than in places like academia trying to be the people that start those challenges? How are we reaching out to community to say, oh my gosh, you're doing what we're trying to do and we could do it better together?
I think just even on that last part around a lot of people just not realizing that they have an innate ability at it and they're already doing it without understanding either the meta language or the stuff that goes with it, so that they could actually feed it onto those that don't understand. We actually found it in our design and fabrication group, and our director of innovation, they're so amazing at getting into the kind of problem solving, complex, collaborative work together. Because it's how they thrive. It's really how they connect and gel as a team. And then the other part of it that you referenced at the beginning as well is the opening up the community to understanding the different metrics as well. Is, I've been following a lot of the research over the last kind of like probably like 10 years, maybe 8 to 10 years, especially the stuff that was coming out recently out of Melbourne, University of Melbourne, around the metrics. I really loved their first kind of white paper proposal right from them. I've been following it. The hard part is we're a global community that has so many different forms, styles of education, and also value education in different ways. And so it's becoming a smaller world, but that world is also becoming more complex because we're also getting to know more about all of the other education systems that we might not have known the kind of, you know, intricate minutiae materials and details of. And so I think the other part of it is with me developing such more of a robust understanding in the last 5 years of, you know, basically global education across multiple different curricula, is I've also started to see like emerging topics and themes. And you saw a bit of a change in the World Economic Forum theme when it came to around things. It's more like these have gone from risk to areas of actual, like these are going to happen. Do you have any emerging topics or emerging areas that you think TD is going to be kind of the driving problem solver, or at least the driving force of wider understanding and better communication?
I think a transdisciplinary approach is such a great approach for any kind of complex problem. And what we're really seeing now is that we're in this polycrisis. And by a polycrisis, I mean we've got multiple complex challenges happening at the same time, but they're also interconnected and networked. And so if you're creating change in one of those systems, it will have a flow-on effect to those other complex challenges. And so I think transdisciplinarity offers a way to really look at and understand not just the problem itself, but what are the implications if I create change here, what happens to the rest of the system and what does that mean? And I think there are so many challenges that we're facing. And the fact that we're globalized and that we have this advancement in technology, I'm really hopeful that that's going to mean that we're able to actually reach bigger audiences to solve these problems together. I know there's lots of talk about the concerns about artificial intelligence, for example. I'm really excited for some of the possibilities of what that could open for us. And how do we reach communities that having these problems that we wouldn't know are having them in the first place, but will technology allow us to do that?
Yeah, there's an element where people are concerned about things because we're finding more and more out about stuff that we, you know, might not be able to solve immediately or could create even bigger problems, you know, in the future. But I'm incredibly energized by the energy that educators are putting into everything associated with making sure that we future-proof education for the next, you know, 10, 20 generations. And so I'm incredibly energized by it. I know that a number of people, it does kind of like weigh on them. I think the AI component of it is going to address a number of the things that we spoke about earlier, which is just giving access to communities that just don't have. But I also think it's going to be one of those great tools where we start to actually see people collaborating to be able to create an even better product when they're both doing amazing things independently. And so I'm really excited about that particular process. But I'd like to hear, especially, you know, myself, having been in the academic space at the college level before and now, you know, sitting in the K-12 for a much longer period of time recently, is I get a lot of students that want to follow particular pathways. And one of those is academia. They're very passionate about it. They develop an insatiable love of learning at the schools that I've been at before, and they just sponges for knowledge, but then they're also change makers and they want to actually action the stuff. What's a kind of like gold nugget kind of piece that you would give to a student that's thinking about pursuing either a profession or an ongoing experience in academia?
I think academia, I kind of stumbled into academia more from the sense of I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was just a really curious person that really loved to ask questions and understand why things worked the way that they did. And so my pathway to academia wasn't, this is what I want to do. I really fell into it and now absolutely love it. And my mum's, she was a primary school teacher, and she always said, you would be such a great teacher. And I was always like, never. So that I now teach and research for a living, she's very proud. I think the process of academia has a way where it can try and put you into a certain box. And I think the thing I would say to anyone trying to enter into this space is, yes, there's a box, but how do we start to push the boundaries of what that box can be? And so if you're curious and you want to ask questions and you want to solve complex problems, academia is a place where you can do that. And there are hoops, and sometimes those hoops are surrounded by flames, but I think there is places, and I see it more and more, that universities are creating a space for this type of complex problem solving. Transdisciplinary places like TD School at the University of Technology Sydney, a whole school supporting undergraduate and postgraduate training in this space and that place for that research. So you've just got to find where your people are. And I think that's also a really big thing in academia, is having the mentors and knowing, once you find that mentor and that group of people, you'll know.
I think, look, one of the things, again, every time I get a chance to talk to you, it's exciting because I kind of, the energy that you give me through your passion also makes me kind of step out of my office in the next, 15, 20 minutes. And I'll just go and feed that energy on to anyone that's kind of within close
proximity. It's the same. It's reciprocating.
The thing is, it's the best part about education, right, is nearly every second, even the challenges, the complex parts, especially in my position, the real complex parts that can happen, they still end up having some kind of solution or outcome that's central to a student. So you always have a good process that largely comes from the end goal, even though it can be challenging to get along the way. But passion from you is something that every single time that I've been in contact with you, or even through your emails, and I'm not a tone reader in emails, but I can tell yours are heavily like energized. So I'd love to hear why you're so passionate about it, but also I'd love to hear where our listeners could find out more about your work, maybe potentially get involved in some of the initiatives, and also where they can start to kind of dive a little bit deeper and potentially become more knowledgeable in TD learning to really understand what the products that come from it could be. But I'd love to hear, you know, especially with your passionate approaches, where can they find out more about the amazing work you do?
The best place is to just get in contact with me. I will happily talk to anyone for hours about TD education and research. I think my passion really comes from, firstly, the more I work in this space, the more I learn about all of these really random things I never thought I would ever learn about in my life, in the sense of, we have these partners that come and set incredible challenges. We just worked with the Red Cross here, and they were looking at community resilience to natural disasters. And so I learned so much about what's happening in that space that I never would have learned. And so that constant learning, not just about the research I'm doing, but also about complex problems that's happening. The other thing that just really drives me is the transformation I see in students. And that is even from the first day of a class to the end of one particular course, but then across their entire time studying with us, they transform into these incredible humans with a passion to go out and create change in the world. And they see that they can do it because their ideas are implemented while they're studying at university. And so giving them that confidence to go out, but also the skills that they need to be those people that continue doing it. And we have this incredible group of alumni that come back and teach into our programs that are now the partners that are setting challenges for their organization, for our students. You know, it's this community that I'm so incredibly grateful to be a part of. And it's something I'm so excited to build here at the University of Arizona. And so here, I'm really in the process still of just setting up the program here. But if you want to get involved, I'd love to talk to you about how do we transform the education system in Australia, in the US, how do we create that group of like-minded educators that want to come together and create change? How do we start professional development series? And I think the Franklin School could be the hub for that. What is it we need to do? How do we get together to do this?
Look, I love the fact that you said us being a hub, because it's something that we really want to focus on as well, is, you know, education, especially in the independent sector, can become so dog-eat-dog when we lose sight of the fact that we're all trying to create the best institutions for our students to learn and grow. And sharing best practices actually makes your location better, which is actually not going to have really many detrimental effects long term. So definitely, we're also open to hearing from any ed leaders locally, globally, and also even within our own community around here, willing to kind of like start thinking about really widening the PD profile and also just finding out best practices to share in education. Thank you so much for sharing everything around what the amazing work you've done. Also, being another fellow Australian that's made the move over to the US and the impact that you're also having on education here. So I think you're doing a tremendous job. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I can't wait for everyone to hear this podcast and start to overload your email now that you've offered everyone to access you.
And I think the other call out I would love to do to you, Will, is thank you so much for allowing your staff to be involved in this professional development where you've also got staff who are doing postdoctoral studies with me at the University of Technology, Sydney. They're doing master's programs and PhDs to really document what you're doing and share it. And I think that's something a lot of places don't offer or could support. So thank you for that.
No, thanks. And I'm incredibly proud of our community, especially the ones that are doing that work alongside, you know, working with us as we build this amazing school. Thank you so much. I'm hopeful that I can get across to Arizona at some stage and see it all come to life. I know as you build it out, but thank you again. Really appreciate your time. And I'm really excited to hear about the feedback from our listeners, especially around the TD work you're doing.
Thank you again, Will.
That wraps up this episode of Franklin Unlimited. A huge thank you to Dr. Jacqueline Melvoin for sharing her expertise and passion for transdisciplinary learning. And of course, thank you to you, our listeners, for tuning in. If today's conversation piqued your curiosity or gave you a new perspective, be sure to subscribe to Franklin Unlimited so you won't miss future episodes as we continue exploring the leading edge of education. If you'd like to learn more about Franklin School and our mission to empower the next generation of leaders, visit us at franklinjc.org. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible in education.